Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before we get started with today's show, I want to thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, so please keep them in mind for all of your temporary, executive, and permanent placement needs. Today we have with us on the show, Vicki Brackett. Vicki has spent decades helping small, mid-size, and Fortune 500 companies increase performance, revenue, and profitability while simultaneously building deep leadership benches that are nimble and consistently ready for changing market conditions. While leading organizations from 50 to over 2,000 employees, Vicki created a set of leadership tools that engage employees and leaders. Utilizing these proven tools, she helps build successful organizations that perform at the highest standards. Her no-nonsense passion and down-to-earth approach inspires employee engagement and authentic inclusion while creating deep customer and client relationships. Vicki has been interviewed by Forbes, Fast Company, Fortune Magazine, The New York Post, CFO Magazine, CEO Magazine, Women Retail Leadership, Houston Women, Diversity Women, Training Magazine, and a host of other publications and news outlets, as well as podcasts on her creative engagement and leadership development strategies. Today, Vicki is a keynote speaker and the Chief Operating Officer of Synusia. She speaks on how leaders can drive strategic planning, employee engagement, leadership development, and process re-engineering to move key performance indicators in the right direction, all while increasing employee satisfaction. Wow, it's great to have you on the show, Vicki. I feel it's such a privilege. Look at where you've come from. That's amazing.
Oh, thanks, Jennifer, for having me.
Yeah, so tell me, Vicki, how did leadership become something that interested you, and why do you think it's important for all of us to kind of tune into?
Great question. I guess I've always been a leader, even earlier in my career, but about 20-some-odd years ago, I took a job as a director, and the first 45 minutes of my employment, the CEO walked into my office and asked me for a favor. He asked me to hold my paycheck. And I think to myself, you know, I don't make that much money. And this isn't a small company. There's hundreds of employees. They've been in business for 10 years. And as you can imagine, my mind was just reeling. You know, do I leave and go find another job? I had just recently gone through a divorce. I had two children at home. Obviously, I needed my paycheck, and you're a subject matter expert on career, so you know it doesn't happen very fast to go get a job. Or do I just hunker down, you know, hunker down and just make it happen? And I could hear my dad's voice in the back of my head saying, you know, just fake it till you make it. So I looked at the CEO and I said, you know, let's just make this happen. And so it sort of led me on a journey to build a set of tools that I've used consistently for over the 20-plus years that I've been in my career. And these tools have been vetted by thousands and thousands of employees, and they work. And it helps people take control of their jobs, their careers. It helps people get promoted that have never been a manager, or help leaders move into levels of more responsibility, help senior-level executives drive their organizations and be ready for change. And I just feel that companies need this. I feel like there's sort of an epidemic in corporate America, and that epidemic's a strong word, but that we just promote people because they're really good at their current job, and we don't bother to mentor and develop them in their new job. Now, a lot of companies have, you know, their own universities inside, they've got training departments, but this isn't about online classes. You know, this is about someone taking the time to mentor and develop people. And if you talk to great leaders, no one says, well, I became a great leader because I took an online course, right? or I went into my company's training program. It's always the same thing. Somebody took, you know, time to help develop and mentor me. And that's what these tools do. And I really believe that people need this. So they feel like they're in charge of their own career. People feel like they're victims inside their companies. They can't seem to go where they want to go. And when they get there, they don't know what to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, It makes a lot of sense. And I know for me personally and the people who I've helped to coach and mentor throughout their careers, it's this thing that seems kind of ambiguous. What makes a great leader? Why is it person A gets promoted up the ranks and person B gets bypassed time and time again for promotions, raises, any sort of increase in their career? And I know it's very frustrating from the people I've spoken with. Throughout the years that I've been doing this over the past 15 years, it can create a lot of upset, lack of self-worth, frustration, and you feel like, what is it, that certain je ne sais quoi, that little something that that other person has? And if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying you've diluted that down into what you call the leadership toolbox, which gives people, whether you're an employer trying to help instill leadership characteristics into your employees or leaders, or if you're somebody out there, perhaps in the real world, just thinking, gosh, I haven't yet been a leader. What's missing that would get me there? That's essentially it, right?
That's absolutely correct. Now, people will say, well, it's politics, or they like somebody else better. And that very well may be the truth. But one of the tools in the toolbox is the mirror tool. And this is about looking honestly at ourselves, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning you wake up.
Vicki, I'm going to stop you for 1 second. I think I'm getting a little bit of feedback on the line. If you can just move your mouth away from the microphone, I just want to be sure our listeners get the most out of the show, and I just don't want there to be any interference. So if you can say that again, please.
Sure. Can you hear me better now?
Oh, so much better. Perfect.
Okay. It's the first thing people do is they say that it's political or somebody likes somebody else better than them. And it could be true, right? But first, I think you've got to do a gut check. And one of the tools in the leadership toolbox is the mirror tool. And it's what we do at 3 o'clock in the morning when we can't sleep and we wake up. But it's that real honest conversation. Have we done everything in our power to either A, move our organization forward, or B, done things so that we could get promoted? Once you have that honest conversation, and you might want to ask other people other than family and friends, then I think once you really realize if you've done everything, then maybe it's not a great fit. But if you haven't, and that's usually what people will say because they don't have the skill sets, then I think it's our responsibility as people to forward our own career. And that's when I think using a systematic approach with tools will be beneficial for people.
So let's talk about that. Let's quantify what leadership is and how we can either begin to instill that characteristic in ourselves or develop it in those that we work with. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back to something my dad said. He said, and this is when I was very young in high school, he said, leadership's like going into battle every day. We're battling for market share. If you go into battle and you have to turn around to see if your folks are following you, the people you manage, then you're not doing a good job. They need to be beside you or in front of you. And so leadership isn't about, you know, managing reports and talking in meetings. It's about inspiring and motivating people so that they're engaged, they're happy, and they're productive. It's creating a community that where you go to work and people feel valued and that you can attack real life challenges in the business real time and move them forward. This isn't the suggestion box or the once a year fireside chat that the CEO has. This is a constant thing that's done every single day. It engages people, and this is where leaders will get traction. Otherwise, everybody's in the rowboat going a different way. So you want people in the rowboat rowing with you as a leader, but you want them to be engaged and happy to be in the rowboat and all going the same direction, even if they have different sizes of oars.
So let's say it's a hypothetical that you're in a rowboat and everybody is rowing in a different direction and you are the leader of this rowboat. How do you even begin to get people to start facing the same direction, let alone rowing in the same direction? What does that take?
Great question. If I open up my leadership toolbox, one of the first tools in the book is the big picture. It's where are we going? This isn't a mission or value statement. It's getting people excited. So if you think about Apple or Amazon or any of those companies, and most people don't work for those big companies, the employees believed in something better than themselves. They believed it's something they were going to make something happen. It could be a variety of different things. So if the leader needs to really say, hey, we're going to be the best in the region at X, or we're going to have the best accounts receivable record, you know, that we've ever had in accounts receivable in accounting. I mean, you can take it down to the department level, but it's getting them to believe that they're going to be the best at something because people want to be number one at what they do. It could be we're the fastest growing. It could be we're have the best customer service satisfaction scores or our stock price goes up the most or whatever the case may be. But the leader has to get people to believe in the direction that they're going. So at least they're all facing the same way. And then it's about reminding them in every conversation. So for example, I took over an organization that everybody worked virtually in their home. And we answered the phone for a Fortune 50 company and did a lot of customer service and technical support. And basically what I did was say that out of all the other companies that helped this Fortune 50 company with their customer service interactions, that we were going to be number one. Now, we were about to be fired from this big company, right? But what I did is I just got everyone to believe it. I hooked it on every statement. You know, when we're number one, XYZ. Oh, hi, Mary. You know, we're excited about going to number one. Gee, I was wondering if you could give me your opinion on X. I mean, I weaved it in every conversation, every video I did to my work at home organization, every chat, everything was always about it. Pretty soon, everybody just started to believe. And so when people believe in something, as your Think and Grow Rich podcast that I listened to, that you recently did, people start believing it. So their actions actually follow that goal. And so suddenly people are more productive. People show up. And this is without hitting anybody over the head. They're just excited about being the best. And in less than 5 months, we went from losing millions of dollars and going to be fired by this Fortune 50 company to being number one out of 30 some odd companies that helped them with their customer service and technical support. And so we did that in less than 5 months. This was without any fancy training programs or changing the hiring profile or anything. It was about people believing where they're going. So that's the first thing a leader needs to do.
I think it's so important to reiterate what you just said. I was listening actually to another podcast earlier today, and they were emphasizing that if you have sales that are, say, are in the trash, in the dumps for a company, and you have people within the organization who are going around and gossiping and saying, oh, it's so tough, and this client is such a jerk, and nobody really wants to work with this client, they're so challenging. That then becomes a conversation where you're not appreciating that client or that individual. And then that basically, it makes the situation, it compounds it and makes it worse. And instead of a situation that, to your point, get better in 5 months, it becomes significantly worse and worse and worse, because what we're looking for, what we're focusing our energy, attention, our words, our thoughts on, is all the reasons this client is a jerk or it's unsalvageable or not workable. So I think it's so important to remember, no matter what role you're in an organization, whether you are the leader or you want to be the leader or you have no desire to be a leader, I think it's important to realize that how you speak about things, what you tell yourself and what you tell others about that situation, that company, is going to directly correlate to how you show up for others and how the company shows up for you.
You're exactly right. Even to an individual contributor that is trying to drive an idea, if you're known as the quote unquote negative Nelly in the room, or you're participating in the gossip, people are not going to follow you. Nobody wants to get on that train, right? So if you want success at work, or you want to be promoted, or just want your ideas driven by not participating and being more positive about where the company is going, that's going to help you. Because think about it, if you have a bunch of people that are being negative, no one's working. The boss is now going to be frustrated because they're not going to meet their numbers. And it just starts traveling downhill. It becomes an epidemic.
Well, gossip, the funny thing about it is that gossip creates a fake sense of unity, where actually when you're gossiping, you're creating disparity and disease. And that's gossip is one of the biggest diseases in an organization, where the organizations I've encountered in the business world, law firms, corporate or otherwise, no matter what the size, if they nip the office gossip in the bud, those organizations are typically significantly more successful than those who allow it to run rampant. And it really is, it's partly every individual and it's partly the leader to set the precedent that this is not something we accept.
Exactly. And leaders need to not ignore it, but they need to confront it. So if Mary comes into the leader's office and said, you know, we're having problems doing XYZ, to tell Mary that we're not is ridiculous. You need to acknowledge, yes, Mary, we do have that issue. How do you think we can fix it? Or how often do you see it happen? Do you have any numbers? But you have to acknowledge that person. If you don't, they're just going to leave the office just demoralized and cause more gossip.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit more about this, Vicki. How do we then prevent this attrition? So gossip is one factor, and getting everybody in the boat facing the same direction, going the same direction, is another factor. How do we actually begin to prevent losing our key team players when we're in this position?
Great question. Tool number four in the book, I call it dangle the carrot. It's understanding what motivates your people and capitalizing on it. Finding out what each person wants. Is it a promotion? Is it learning Excel? Is it being able to do a, you know, be cross-trained in another department? What do they want? And then to back that out with what they need to do to participate. And part of that is being positive, turning negativity around, and then showing them how to actually do that. You can role play, you can give them a book or a white paper or something on it, but it's basically understanding it. And then you do the same thing as you do with the big picture. And in every conversation, it would be, well, Jennifer, we know that you want to, you know, move to the, you know, accounting department. One of the things we're working on in this department is to, you know, move the sales forward. You know, I think if we all get together and do something that you're suggesting, then perhaps we can sit down and I can get you an interview to talk with the person in accounting. In other words, it's dangling the carrot. It's not the carrot the company wants or the boss's carrot. It's their personal carrot, what they want. It could be a different schedule. It could be a different day off. It could be to be able to have a flex schedule and work at home. I mean, it could be any variety of things. Maybe take a class, but it's understanding what they want. So you keep the big picture in front of them, but you also keep their personal carrot in front of them.
Yeah, and I think the more important thing to Mark Perna's point, when he was on the show about a month or two ago, Mark Perna just wrote this award-winning book on what matters to millennials and Generation Z. And what Mark shared is that you have to understand their passion. If you don't understand that person's carrot, and whether we're talking about a millennial, a Gen Z, a baby boomer, a Generation X, I think it's relevant. I think that understanding the carrot for every person in an organization is critical to being able to move the organization forward, because otherwise you're just a body showing up to work every day.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And people get excited, and it's literally the momentum starts to build. People are happier, they perform better, they produce better, and the boss gets what they want as well. Everybody wins, and the customers and the clients, they win as well. So it's really a win-win-win situation.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk a little bit more about employee engagement. What are some things employers can do to have more of an immediate impact on their teams?
Well, another tool in my toolbox is that everybody has a sign on their head that says, make me feel important. We crave this. Now, this is not blowing smoke. It has to be sincere. But it's acknowledging them. So, for example, some people say to me, well, Vicki, this person doesn't perform. I mean, what am I going to, you know, praise them for? And I'm like, you need to find something, you know, that they helped somebody else, that they showed up on time, that their desk is organized. I mean, you need to find something that you can say that you appreciate them, and it has to be sincere. You also can also follow it up with what I call a praise call or a praise text. I call employees. I was in one company where they were just in really bad shape, and so I made a commitment to call 100 employees every week for the first 4 weeks. And I would just get in dial, and it was very short how I set things up. But I basically thanked them and found something to praise them for. I had stats in front of me, their attendance in front of me, their boss had said something nice about them, and I just would do their 10 or 15 second calls, and you can leave them on a recorder. And so this also makes people excited, and it goes viral across an organization that the senior, most senior person called and complimented about something. It really makes a difference.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just last week, we had Dr. Paul White on the show again talking about appreciation at work, which is his specialty, and the languages that people need to be appreciated. But I think that's a key factor in what has people leave an organization. I think last week, Dr. White shared that 87% of people leave a job due to lack of appreciation, which is a pretty astounding number.
No, I agree with you. And I think the leaders are running. What happens, it just becomes sort of a whirlpool that you're just going down. You get on this hamster wheel and you're just putting out fires, right? And people are getting negative and they're gossiping, and the leader just can't seem to get traction and change. And you can change it with 3 praise calls, you know, for a week, and do 15 calls inside your organization. It can literally stop that momentum from going the wrong way, because people are now like, wow, I'm appreciated. And so you're talking about spending 5 minutes a day, right, for 5 days. That's all you're talking about. And yet you're probably spending that much time at 3 o'clock in the morning pacing the floor, right, and worrying. That's what I'm saying. It's not about victim mentality. It's about, hey, what can I do to make a positive impact?
And I think the other big thing that I know I made a huge error when I first started managing and attempting to lead people is I thought that you punish bad behavior. I thought devil wears Prada, you punish bad behavior, reward good behavior. But I didn't understand that when you punish people, if people are in that sort of an environment, it becomes fear-based. And it took me probably 3 or 4 years of running my own organization until somebody came in, slapped me upside the head and said, you're doing this all wrong. You got to lead with inspiration and not with judging people and telling them how they're doing things the wrong way, which was a huge eye-opener for me as a leader.
That's a great story. I always tell leaders when they say, well, I'm not sure what to do, ask your people. That's another one of my tools in my book, The People Know the Answer. Ask them what they want. You know, I'm trying to be a better leader. I want to inspire people inside the department, Mary. What do you suggest I do? Just ask them. It's being a little bit vulnerable. It's being human and just asking them. I made this decision last week and no one's getting on board, Bob. What else can I do? You don't think they've already talked about this among themselves? You bet they have. After work, you know, they've gone out for a drink or run to Starbucks, or after work, they're on the phones. They've already talked about it. They already have the answer for you. Just ask.
Yeah, and it's about not skipping it over, because I think as human beings, we might miss something over the course of 24 hours, maybe even a few days. I know we all get busy in the office, whether you're leading or just busy with your day-to-day work. I know for me personally, I try to check in every day and I ask myself, you know, was I rude? Did I empower people? And you can kind of get that intuitive sense. If you spoke to somebody and something was off, you get that feeling between yourself and another person. And if you don't address that right away and within a very short time period, you know, bring it up and have an empowering conversation about how to fix it, then it's eventually going to fester and spread throughout the organization. Like you said, the person may gossip or speak about it instead of just going and saying, hey, I noticed this didn't work for you. Can you tell me a little bit about how you would like to receive that feedback next time? And then you can create a win-win rather than a win-lose where you lose that employee or the manager winds up leaving.
You're talking about emotional intelligence, and everybody has got some. It's that some of us use it more than others. It's looking to see if they may not even say anything. It's maybe they're not looking at you, or maybe they're chatting normally a lot, but now their chats, they're not there. Maybe they say hello to everybody when they come into the office, but today they went right to their desk. I mean, these are signs that something's going on. Could be business, could be personal, but it's something to let the leader know, hey, listen, something might be a little off with Bob today.
Yeah, and just pay attention to it and not sweep it under the rug until it becomes a huge snowball and has gotten so big that you can't handle it.
And they'll appreciate it. Employees appreciate you being honest and open with them.
And what are your thoughts on mentorship and the role that leaders have to mentor? Should everybody in an organization have a leader who's mentoring them? What does that look like?
Well, great question. I mean, obviously, if you look at the actual numbers, one leader and X amount of people probably is not going to work. But people also can mentor other people as well on different types of things. I had a boss in my 20s tell me, Vicki, if you do something in your job and no one's sitting next to you watching, you've missed a valuable training and mentoring opportunity. So when you mentor people, it's about prepping them. I'm going to go have this conversation. I'm going to go have this meeting or whatever I'm doing. This is my goal going in. These are the things I'm going to be looking at, how people respond. I go in, I do it, and then I pull the person back or two people back at a time and say, okay, when I said this, did you notice everybody shifting from left to right in the room? Okay, you know, when I asked for questions, everybody's hand went up. What does that tell you? Oh, Vicki, that they're engaged. They're engaged, exactly. So it's prepping them before doing something and then explaining on the back end. And so people that are good with Excel in the accounting department or in the sales department can mentor someone in that particular skill to help them. And that way everybody's helping everybody.
And I've noticed personally that when you have people in an organization and you have them mentor other people, for example, in our organization, even if we have somebody who might have 3 months more experience than the person who's coming in, it's very helpful because when you mentor somebody else, you're ingraining that skill within yourself and you're also getting an opportunity to share. And when we share as human beings, it's the quickest way to get ourselves out of depression, frustration, anger, upset, because you're moving from a me only, woe is me victim mentality to a, hey, I'm going to have to get outside of myself and do something for another person, which is again going to create a win-win for the person who gets to contribute and a win for the receiving party.
You're absolutely right. It also puts the person that's doing the mentoring sort of out there for everybody to watch. So their performance will actually get better because everybody's watching them and they know it.
Absolutely. So are there any other things that you think that we haven't yet touched on about how we can be developing better leaders, either within our organizations or instilling better, not better, let's take that out. Let's say instilling greater leadership capacity within ourselves or others.
I think that people have a choice to take control over their jobs and their careers, and they need to. They need to go get resources and help. They need to try different things and then watch to see how those things work. I think it's about taking control of their life and their career. And I think when we do that, then we stop playing the victim. And then if it's time to leave a company, then we can leave. But we've done everything in our power to move ahead our ideas or be promoted.
Yeah, and I think that to your point, one of the greatest things that you can do as a leader is to set your team up for success even when you leave an organization. So some people who might be frustrated, you know, there might be things that a person, a leader doesn't agree with within an organization. And yet, if that leader can be sure that their team is set up not only for immediate success, but for long-term success, I think that's the greatest reflection of that leader of not trying to sabotage or be frustrated, but to make sure that long after they've gone, the company is more successful than when the leader was even there.
I agree with you 100%.
Well, gosh, I could talk to you for quite some time, Vicki, but we only have so much time on the show. So tell me, are there any other takeaways or anything else I didn't get a chance to ask you that you want to touch on before we get into your book and tell people where they can find it?
I think I would reiterate the fact that the people know the answer. And when you're a leader, new or experienced, and you're not sure what to do, and there's too many choices, to go right to the people and ask them. Sit down with them one-on-one or in a small group, in a focus group, and say, you know, what can we do to make this better? Or what are some of the gaps and how would you attack them? So going back to the people will appreciate it. They'll feel validated. And trust me, they'll want to help.
I love that. So tell our listeners, if they are interested in the Leadership Toolbox or they want to find out more about what it is you do, where would they find information about that?
Well, the book is on Amazon and iBooks and all the internet, of course, and bookstores. They can get it online. I have a LinkedIn profile, and also they can get information on at theleadershiptoolbox.com, theleadershiptoolbox.com.
Yeah, and I love it because it's there to help employees and business leaders. So you could be somebody out there, maybe you're looking for that promotion, you've been passed up, or you are reaching out in your career and you want to hit that next level. It's a great opportunity to become more self-aware and to your point, Vicki, to increase your EQ and go, okay, what's missing right now that I could incorporate from a leadership standpoint that can help me get to that next level, whether it's your next job or a job 5 or 10 years down the road. You'd rather be prepared for the job that you want to have 10 years from now than wait until you get there and then be passed up for that opportunity.
Yeah, I would say be proactive. The book has 50 case studies and stories that articulate the tools. They're very simple.
Perfect. Again, the book is The Leadership Toolbox, 14 Strategies That Build a Chain Reaction of Success. And the author is Vicki Brackett, who's been with us on the show today. It's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much, Vicki.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you so much to everybody who tuned in, whether you're listening now or listening at a later time. We're intending that you found something of value out of the show today. And always remember that you can find the show later in the week on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You can find it there. You can also find it on the archive of the Get Yourself the Job page on latalkradios.com's website. So if you go to latalkradio.com, channel 1, under Get Yourself the Job. At the bottom of that page, you'll find this show as well as any prior shows that we've done. And of course, on Facebook, we have a Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook where we're often sharing shows that we've done, articles, quotes, other things that are relevant for people out there who want to land and keep their dream jobs. So thank you so much and wishing everybody a great rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.